We are going to be talking about time management. And quite honestly, I am convinced that 75% of the couples I have worked with that have had problems in their marriage, I am convinced that they would have an incredible marriage if they just took the necessary time to budget and prioritize their time. That they would have a way better, successful marriage if they would just learn time management, how to budget their time. God desires for us to be productive with our time. It's another one of those resources he asks us to use for his purposes or to be faithful with. That said, much of our time is wasted time. You guys know Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. Verse 2, it says, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. We all know, we've all experienced that bad management of God's resources leads to bad fruit. Poor time management can be a tremendous stress on a family, just like poor financial management. That's what Psalm 127 is saying. It's useless to work hard from early till morning if God has not built the house. And the fact of the matter is that which we give our time to is that which we give our lives to. Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. If you want to know what your treasure is, ask yourself what you're spending your time on. That's where your treasure is. In other words, our time is often wasted on pursuing things or treasures that have no lasting value or purpose. Our bent as people in our humanity, our natural tendency is Psalm 127:2, to anxiously labor in vain. And as a married couple, the best way to avoid laboring in vain, and I just spoke about this in our last session, is focusing on building the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to read to you some verses, and then I'm going to highlight one that has changed both me as an individual and our marriage. Matthew 6:25 through 33. Jesus said, that is why I tell you. Now, put yourself in this perspective of your marriage. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying what we will eat and what we will drink and what we will wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And here's the verse. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. When we seek, this is how I use it in my world, when we seek our kingdom first, there is chaos. When we seek God's kingdom first, there is peace. Another way to say that is simply to say, when you spend your time on you, you never have enough time. When all you're spending your time in is on you, you never have enough time. The Bible makes that clear. Proverbs 27:20. Listen to this proverb. Death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are the eyes of man. You're never satisfied when it's all about you, when all you're looking at is you. Death and destruction are never satisfied, neither are you. Ecclesiastes 6:7. All a man's efforts are for his mouth, yet his appetite is never satisfied. In marriage, this will be a tremendous temptation to labor over things, stuff that never really adds to anything. And when that happens, you could find yourself tired or cranky or disconnected or empty. And so knowing that, this is going to be a very practical talk for you guys. I want to give you guys some suggestions that really could all be sermons in and of themselves, but because of time, I want to briefly touch on each of them. If we know our bent is just to labor in vain, if we know we are never satisfied, and if we know that we are to focus on God's kingdom, then we should ask ourselves, when it comes to time, how then do we organize our time? How do we organize it? How do we budget our time? Well, the first thing that we have to do is prioritize. Prioritize your time. And it looks like this: God first, then your family, then others, then yourself. That is your world. That's what it comes down to. Your time should be spent on God, family, others, then you. But if we're honest, more often it's kind of you and then others, and then family, and then God. This is our world. This is the pecking order. This is how we organize our time. Our relationships with God, our quiet times, our family time, our church time, our work time, our recreation time, all of those things are fighting for number one. All of those things are in tension with each other all of the time. They're always pulling from one another. Your church life pulls from your work life, and your work life pulls from your family life, and your family life pulls from your recreation life. And so it's hard to navigate budgeting our time, but this is the order: God, family, others, yourself. And two verses that really helped me a lot, that kind of just put this into perspective for me, I'm going to read them to you. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Two sets of verses. You guys know this, and then I'll highlight them. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me." Verse 41, but the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, Jesus did not say, "What you're doing is not important." What he said was, "This is the one to be concerned about. This is the thing she's discovered. She has discovered me. She has it right. Service is important. Service to the Lord is important. But simply time spent at the feet of Jesus is what we're to be concerned about first. God, he's the big one. He's where we spend our time." That's how we know. And I'll get into some practicals in a second. And then there's this verse. If it's God, then family. Look at this verse. "But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers." This is an incredibly terrifying verse to me. I could be worse than an unbeliever. What is worse than an unbeliever? I can't think of anything worse than an unbeliever. Destined to hell. I don't understand anything worse than that. Well, this is the person that is not taking care of their family. That's a big deal. And so this puts things in perspective for me. Out of all those things that are fighting for my time, God says, "Sit at my feet, spend time with your family." Those are the big ones. And that, by the way, dominates most of my time. So we need to ask ourselves this: in what ways can I serve God first, then my family, others, then myself? And the Holy Spirit lives in each one of you, and he can teach us. I'll show you some practical things, but we need to be connected to God for us to know how to do this. It is not a formulaic plan. It's not quite so easy as just squaring it in. The Holy Spirit needs to teach us, but that's the pecking order. How do I serve God? How do I love God first? How do I love and serve my family, and then other people, and then myself? We need to take God's point of view, not our own. That's what we need to learn how to do with our time. You guys know this proverb: "There is a path before each person that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death." We can look around us and see tons of examples of where people are prioritizing their time. And we know that it's wrong. It seems right to them, but it leads to death. We need to line our priorities up with what God sees as a priority. We need to ask ourselves, what is most important right now? In this moment, serving God, serving my family, serving others, serving myself last. Let me tell you an example of exactly what not to do. Recently, I went with my family to Mexico. My brother-in-law was getting married, and it's a big deal to travel out of the country. It's an even bigger deal to travel out of the country with three small kids. And so we had to get passports, and we had to make sure that we had diapers because we were going to a place that we didn't know we had to get formula, we had to bring toys, we had all these things that we had to do, all these things that were incredibly important to make sure that my family traveled from here to Texas and from Texas to Mexico, that we got through customs, that we got on a bus, that everything was fine, that everything was just right. And as you can imagine, that was a gigantic stress, particularly on my wife. She was very concerned with the kids, very concerned with making sure that we had everything we needed, making sure we had all the right amount of clothes, making sure we had the right amount of food and the snacks, and making sure that we were just in the right place. So we are leaving for Mexico. The morning we woke up, we were going to leave that afternoon. Well, the very first thing that I did, because it had been driving me crazy, earlier in that week, I had a couple free hours, and so I painted my door, my front door. I painted it black. I thought it looked really cool. It took way more time than I thought it was going to take, but I finally got it finished. And the finale to the door was going to be this brushed nickel kick plate. It was going to be awesome. You guys know what I'm talking about, the kick plate at the bottom of the door. For some reason, I was like, I painted the door black. I can't wait to get a brushed nickel kick plate. It was a huge deal to me for some reason. Well, I had looked in a couple of places throughout the week, and they didn't have it. So finally, there was this urgency. We're going to Mexico. I need to get this kick plate. This is a big deal. And so I called Home Depot. We don't have it. I called another Home Depot. We don't have it. I called up the road. We don't have it. Finally, I found it at Lowe's on like 9400 South. And I live up here by Sugar House Park. So I was like, oh, hey, okay. I think I can make it to Lowe's. So the morning we're leaving for Mexico, I get up, I drive, I say, see you to the wife, I drive to Lowe's, I get the kick plate, I come back, I say, babe, we're ready to go, I got the kick plate. She just looks at me, what are you doing? Well, apparently I'm failing right now. Super stupid idea, husbands, don't do that. Obviously, I wasn't lining up my priorities with what God would think is a priority. How to have my quiet time? Yeah, I had that one in the can. But God would say, next your family. Well, not the kick plate. God didn't care about it then. He doesn't care about it right now. You get the idea. Commit your plans to the Lord. You guys know this proverb. Again, this is about knowing how to budget our time. These are things we can do. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. You know, one thing that I do when I'm thinking about my time, because we only have so much, is what I have done for years now. It's called Plan A and Plan B. And if you're anything like me, I can get really thrown off when something doesn't go my way. If something doesn't go according to plan or according to how I thought it should go, I can be really, really frazzled. And for years, that just kind of created an anxiety and a tension, and especially in our marriage, that can be a really tense thing. And so what I've learned to do in committing my actions to the Lord, committing my plans to the Lord, is simply doing plan A, plan B. And so what that means is almost every day, I will wake up, I will spend some time with the Lord, and I will lay out what I have planned for the day. I'll say, God, today I want to wake up. I'm having time with you. That's awesome. I want to spend a little time with my kids. And then I've got this appointment that's going on here. I want to prep the Luke chapter that I'm doing in small group. I want to make sure that I've got the Acts things prepared. I got a coffee appointment at this time. We're having these people over for dinner. And this is when I'm going to have some time with my wife. This is my plan A. This is what I've got going on here. This is how I'm going to spend my time. I want to make sure I'm getting with you. I want to commit these plans to you. And what that does is it frees up the sovereignty of God in my life. Because I've committed plan A to God, but what can happen? Well, the other day I was sitting there and I was prepping a message, and that's how I had budgeted my time. I knew that it was important. I had spent some time with the Lord. I had time carved out, and we'll get to this in a second, from my family, and I had budgeted my time. My plan A was, today I'm going to prep a sermon. Well, knock on my door. I open up the door, and there was a brother there that needed a lot of time. It was for this talk, which is kind of weird. And so I spent the afternoon with this guy, talking to this guy and what was going on in his life. And I had to trust, Lord, that's your plan B. That's what you had. That's important. I gave you my plan A and I made you Lord over my schedule. I committed my plans to you and you sovereignly saw fit to bring this guy to knock on my door so I can open it up and share you with him. That is what your plan B was. And plan B means better. Commit your plans to the Lord. Roll with the punches of God's sovereignty. It helps us with our time so that we're not so frazzled. Otherwise, had that guy knocked on the door and I had not given that plan to God, I would have been totally frazzled. Like, you got to get out of here, dude. I don't care what's going on with your life. I got something to do. But instead it was, okay, well, Lord, I got to trust in your grace. I got to trust that you're going to give me what I need. Plan A, plan B. Commit your plans to the Lord. Another practical thing. How do we organize our time? Have a morning quiet time and focus on what God desires for the day. Ask yourself or ask him, what is it that you desire from me today, God? That's part of putting God first, part of making him first in your life, part of committing your plans to him. Lord, what is it that you desire? What is on your heart? Have a quiet time. Focus on what God wants for your life. Focus on God, your family, others, and yourself. How does that practically play out? Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you what that looks like. Really, really practical things for the next 7 minutes or so. Talking about organizing and budgeting our time, things that we can do to help us. Write down your life goals. This seems like a big job, but it will help you. Write down what you want to accomplish with your life. I call it my one sheet. It's my one sheet. I'm going to read it to you. This is my life. This is what I want to do with my life. Steel Cross White, to win with God, to know him more when I am old than when I am young, to win with my wife, to finish strong, to love Kim more richly and intimately with each passing day until I die, to wash Kim with the word and to present her holy to the Lord, to win with my kids, to raise them to love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ with their whole life and for their whole life. To win with my church, to love and serve the church all the days of my life, to use my talents, my influence, my family, and my resources to bless the saints of God, being among the first to serve them, to win at the Great Commission, to make use of every opportunity to win the loss, to season every conversation with the salt of the good news, to always be aware of the realities of heaven, hell, and the time where no man can work. That's my life goal sheet. Everything I do is filtered through this because there, especially as I get older, my time gets thinner and thinner and more responsibilities come on and other things that I even love to do, like music. Music can fight for my time so much. I could easily be a full-time producer. I could easily be a full-time songwriter. I have to filter everything through this. Everything somebody asks me, anything you guys ask me, anything my co-pastors ask me, anything that is coming across my desk, does it help me win with God? Does it help me win with my wife? Does it help me in some way with my kids? Does it help me with my church? Does it help me with the Great Commission? If it doesn't do this, it doesn't work. It doesn't matter how much money. It doesn't matter how much fame. It doesn't matter how much glory. It does not matter what they say. This matters. My time will be spent until I'm dead doing this. Write it down. Be intentional with your life. Be intentional with your marriage. Think about it. Your days are fleeting. Write down your goals. What do you want your life to look like when you die? Do it. It'll filter everything. Another really practical thing you can do. Look at your year at a glance. Again, budgeting your time. Ask yourself, what does your year look like? And that's hard. I get it, right? Because there's the plan A, plan B thing. And of course, God's sovereign. But God gives us brains and wants us to grow with him and wants us to spend time with family and rest. And all those things are part of that. Ask yourself, what do your vacations look like? What do your work trips look like? What weekends do you have that are free you can schedule your family? Can you take on more responsibilities this year, or do you need to let go of them? Be a person that is realistic about your year. Are you buying a house this year? That's going to take some time. Are you having a new baby this year? That's going to take some time. Is one of your kids entering into school? That's going to take some time. Do you have something big happening in your church life? That's going to take some time. Do you have some work trips that are coming down that your boss expects you to do something? That's going to take some time. Look at your year and go, I think this March we should get away here, babe. And I know that this is what's going on with the church here and this time. And I know that my boss wants me to take these trips. And I know that there's this family reunion that's coming. And you know, so-and-so is going to be entering into school. And so we're going to make sure that we make time for the, oh, and you know what? I forgot about soccer. Let's look at the year. Get an idea of what your year looks like so it doesn't just spring up on you like, oh man, what happened to 2014? Have an idea. I appreciate what Mac was saying. With kids, sometimes it's like shooting for the moon. Well, like he said, we need to know how to get there. Same thing with our marriage. Same thing with our life. We can't just pretend that it's going to hit. We got to go. We got to make a plan. Got to have an agenda. Look at your year. Look at your month. Plan monthly. Operate weekly. So look at your month. Break it down even more. And again, I do this, which is weird because I'm not really wired naturally this way. But I've become this guy. I understand the importance of this. I look at my month regularly and I plan my weeks accordingly. For example, ask yourself, how might you plan your week if you knew ahead of time, I've got this rock solid weekend coming up, I got small group on Monday, I got a couple coming over for dinner on Tuesday, on Wednesday I have coffee planned with a friend after work, Thursday I plan on going to my mom's house for dinner, and then you just got a call from one of your small group leaders or your pastor and they're saying, hey, I really need your help on Friday, and then Saturday night you got to come back to church. Two things. You either know ahead of time that it's a crazy week, and you communicate that with your spouse so you're ready for it, or you take something off your plate so you can focus on what really counts, God, your family, others, yourself. There have been times where Kim and I will look at our month and then look at the week, and we'll go, babe, this week is crazy. It's crazy. I don't have a free, this week was one of those weeks. I had something all day long, every single day. I had something planned for church every single night. And my days were just washed with things to do for the Lord and in ministry. And Kim and I knew it. We saw that ahead of time. We knew this week was coming. We communicated ahead of time. Let's make sure we're grabbing time before bed here. Let's make sure that I wake up early and you and I connect. How can I help you with the kids over here? My family's in town. Are we going to get some time to get dinner with them? I need to communicate with the other pastors that this is going on. I knew it because I looked at it. And there have been times, even again this week, I called the other pastor and said, guys, we have this rock solid thing happening on Friday. I got so many things going on every single night of the week. This week is crazy. My family's coming into town. I want my the cousins to play together. Can I take Friday off on the evening time? Can I not go to the thing? Of course, they were gracious. Yes, please go be with your family. Because I knew God, my family, others, yourself. Big deal. So plan monthly, operate weekly. Last few minutes here, practical tips for marriage and family. Weekly meeting. Have a weekly meeting. Seems kind of silly. It doesn't have to be super official, but review your life goals. How are we doing? How are we doing with this big picture of, we call it the Cross White team. How's Team C doing? Are we reaching our goals? How are we going to spend our time this week? Every single Sunday, it's become this unofficial meeting time that Kim and I have. When the kids are in bed, we both get our computers out and we talk about our week. This is what's happening this week. This is how it's going. We review our plans. We spend time getting on the same page. Gosh, husbands, if you would do this, if you would just do this, get a computer or put a big, huge calendar on the wall and write, gone this night, gone this day, date night here, this is what's happening. Just write it down. And then review it, discuss it. So life doesn't just happen to your wife. Or wife, if you suck at this, get better at it, and you do it for your husband. Touch base on what's going on in each other's life. We talked about that with quality time and conversations. Discuss your problems. Have that conversation. How's your money going? How's the timeliness happening? How are we balancing all of these things? And again, it's not a perfect science, but I try to every day get 30 minutes of FaceTime with Kim. I try to, and it doesn't happen every single day, and it seems like it should, but life gets busy. But that's my goal, 30 minutes of FaceTime, of time talking, not just being around each other. Maybe it's a walk like I spoke about. Maybe it's, there's been times where we have kids and I'll just tell them at the dinner table, don't talk. Guys, I love you. Don't talk. Close your mouth. Listen. Just listen. Don't talk. Eat. Mom and dad are going to talk right now because I haven't seen my wife. I need to get 20 or 30 minutes with her. So each day I go, have I connected with Kim today? Have I? It doesn't mean long, drawn-out walks on the beach. It just means, do I have her heart? Have we spent time with each other? Have I valued her and treasured her with those love languages we discussed? Discuss your problems. Talk about things. Review your month's activities. Again, I already talked about this. Set aside family time that is sacred, that's untouched. You know what? My day off is on Thursday. I will not take your phone call on Thursday. Unless it's one of the pastors who's called me and said, it is urgent that you take your phone, I won't take it. I don't answer my emails. My family knows. My kids are so excited on Thursday, it's awesome. My wife is so excited on Thursday because they know that's my time. That's focused all day time with my family, with my wife. We try to plan dates. We used to be really good at this, but then we had kids and it gets harder. We try to get a date once a month. We try to get that. Somebody to come in and watch our kids or do an at-home date, try to get creative with it because it's the season of life that we're in. But to have time of just being with each other, it protects your marriage. It protects your kids. Learn to budget your time. Guys, this is a huge deal. And when you're winning at it, you would be amazed at how much you can get done. Amazed if you just budget it well. I think God is just waiting for people to go, okay, Lord, I got X amount of hours in the week. This is what it looks like. You fill up my calendar. And this is the priority. You, my family, others, me, go. Boom. Communicate it. It's amazing. So your homework this week is to give your schedule over to the Lord and to make up a plan and discuss it with your spouse or your fiance. Talk about your desires of the week. Plan a date night. Look at your calendar together. Go, let's plan out our week and get into that habit each week. Look at it, plan it, give the schedule to God. So that concludes our session this afternoon. Let me do one final prayer. I know it was a lot of information today, a lot of good information. What's cool is you guys will be able to go back to this several times and learn more. So let me just pray. Jesus, thank you for your truth. Thank you that our time is determined by you. And Lord, you want us to spend it wisely. We just ask God that we would be better at this. Help me to be better at this. I want to use my time for you. I want to use the time that I have in my marriage, God, to bless you and to bless my wife and to bless my kids and to bless this church, to win the lost. Help me to get better at that. Help us as a church to get better at this. Lord, we all have been pricked in some way or another. We've all found something that we're not good at through these talks. Help us to grow in our areas of weakness. Give us humility, but Holy Spirit power. We say these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.